welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to join me for the broadcast today. We've been looking at God's pattern for revival. We hear a lot of talk about how much we need revival, and so I thought it would be well if we could go into the Word to see, is there a pattern for revival? And we find there is a pattern that is recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles in the life and reign of King Hezekiah. He was a godly king. Now, his father Ahaz had caused all sorts of idolatry and the practices of the heathen Canaanite nations around them to pollute the worship life of Israel, and they had just become prey to their enemies. The Philistines basically had occupied their land, the children were being taken away, and things were in a desperate situation. But the very first thing King Hezekiah does when he comes to the throne is to begin to restore worship. And so, beloved, that's the pattern for us today. And not only in terms of corporately, but individually, we have to be willing to do this, willing to walk in repentance. There was a cleansing of the temple, and that refers to asking God to cleanse us of known of sins of omission and commission, things that we know that we have fallen short, and asking God for His strength and grace to sanctify ourselves anew. And that was the next step. It was a new consecration. So after the cleansing of the temple, there was a rededication. For us, there's a repentance and a new consecration to the Lord. They rededicated the temple and they offered sin and burnt offerings. Now, it's interesting to note in verse 21 that they brought seven, which was, they were being very extravagant. Of course, that's a number of God's perfection, but it also, they felt compensated for the degree of guilt that they were guilty of, the sin that the people had committed. And it said, they killed, in verse 22, they killed the bullocks, and the priest received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. And it's interesting, in verse 24, this is something that I want you to see. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. Now remember, Hezekiah was king of Judah. The blood of the burnt offerings were sprinkled with the blood of the sin offering, and the purpose of the burnt offerings was to give glory to God. Now remember, Jesus, He's our perfect sin offering. He's a propitiation not only for the sin of Israel, but for the whole world. It's very interesting that Hezekiah asked that this atonement be made for all of Israel. And that reminds us of our prayer responsibility that Paul outlines to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. Let me read that for you. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So very clearly, just as the prophets of old. I'm thinking now of Daniel. Remember when he prayed? I mean, he was a godly, righteous man. He was with the others in Babylon, but he was living a godly life. And remember, he refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. He was thrown in the lion's den. God spared him because of his faith and his walk with God. And yet, when he repented, he was repenting for the sin of all of Israel. And that's what we need to do, to repent before God for the sins of this nation, for the sins of those in the body of Christ who are going astray, the apostasy and false doctrine that has crept into the church. Beloved, we better stay with the Word of God. There are those, there are entire denominations that are denying the virgin birth, denying the description of marriage as the Bible defines it, or allowing whatever their sexual preference to be ordained to the ministry. Beloved, such things ought not to be. How do you suppose God looks upon this? So, beloved, we are to repent for the sins of our nation, just as Hezekiah did. And look at now what happens. After he says that these offerings are to be made for all of Israel, he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer. And it said the Levites stood with the instruments of David, the priests with the trumpets. Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when, this is verse 27, when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Verse 30, the last end of that verse says, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their head and worshiped. Praise God. What a wonderful time this was, when there was national repentance and there was a new consecration. Beloved, it starts with each one of us. We can repent and commit ourselves anew and afresh in new dedication and consecration to the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, what do we see? I've shared with you now the first two steps in God's pattern for revival. There is repentance, and there is a new consecration. And of course, the leadership of that day, the king and the priest, took responsibility for that. And of course, that's true. That's why I'm speaking on the broadcast. That's what pastors and teachers and ministers of the gospel should be sharing, that we need to sound this message about how can we have revival by following the scriptural pattern for repentance and for consecration. This is the responsibility of leadership, although it involves every single one of us, just that it as involves every single minister of God to hear this message. You know what Paul said? He said, I had better, lest I become a castaway. He didn't want to preach the word of God and then become a castaway himself by speaking it and preaching it and not doing it. So, beloved, it affects and relates to every single one of us. All right, now what is the next step? Well, the next step was the response of the congregation. There was, if you were, a body involvement. It was the peace and thank offerings of God's people. And here, what have we seen so far? The temple had been properly dedicated. It was ready for use. Remember, it had been cleansed. The people had been sanctified. Atonement sacrifices had been made. So all the proper things had been done according to the law of Moses. And then the king Hezekiah called upon the people to come near and to offer peace and thank offerings. In verse 31, remember, they had just been worshiping and bowing their head, a wonderful time of praise while the burnt offering was being consumed. And then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. What a response to his invitation. Verse 34 says, "But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly." Wow, is that exciting? He said to the people, you know, "You've dedicated yourself to the Lord. You've both made an atonement. You've made a covenant by sacrifice. You are solemnly reconciled and engaged to the Lord God. Now come, bring sacrifices." So now is the time for prayer and for praise and for giving of offerings, of their material abundance, of service. And there was an overwhelming response. The priests were too few. They couldn't flay all the burnt offerings. And remember now, the burnt offerings could not be eaten by the law of Moses. But that just indicated the zeal they had for the worship of God. However, those peace offerings, remember that the fat was to be burned on the altar, but the flesh could be partaken of by the priests and the worshipers. And so this was an occasion of great festivity and feasting. The people rejoiced. There was a restoration of the temple services. And there was an amazing speed with which this was accomplished. Remember, as I shared, verse 36, God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. The NIV says speedily. It was done quickly, with ease, and without any opposition. So it was obvious that God was in this. God had prepared the people by grace. Praise God. Well, we've seen the response of the body, the people of God, the offering of the peace and thank offerings. And tomorrow we're going to look at the next step, which is the Passover, or the proclaiming of the gospel, and then the final step of revival. So I pray you're being blessed by this. It's fascinating to see how God outlines this plan for revival, pattern for revival through the scriptures. I must bring this broadcast to a close. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. If you have any prayer needs, I do invite you to write them down and connect with me by mail or email, and I will send back to you what the Lord would give. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best for every.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.